each chapter, then maybe one after that from Jeremiah. And we're talking about what will it take, what's God going to have to do to get you to say yes to the Lord? Or you could call it, what's God going to have to do to break me? Or you could say, remember where Paul said, I die daily? There are certain things that we have to die to daily. And every one of them revolves around self. So last week, mostly, I dealt with the idea of dying to self-will. When we left off last week, we left off with Jonah in the belly of the fish, whale. And we're going to pick up there this morning where he was in that whale. And that's where God got a hold of him. And that's where God decided, I'm going to have a meeting place with Jonah. Now, because I wanted to save some time this morning for the end of the service, to give you some stuff, I'm not going to review chapter 1. I was going to, but we learned seven lessons out of chapter 1 last week from Jonah. And I did say this last week, and I'm going to say it again. Jonah never got to the place in his life where he said, yes, Lord, yes, not completely. We learned seven things there, but when we get to the last chapter, Jonah never really does get right with God. And, you know, you don't have to be a Jonah. You can get right with God. Well, that's the signal right there. Thunder in the fall, what do they say? It's not fall anymore, is it? Thunder in the fall, no winter at all. Maybe we're not going to get a winter, I don't know. Let's stand and say amen to that. Who said that? You have blasphemy. Anyway, let's stand together. Let's read the second chapter of Jonah together. It's only 10 verses. So here's where we left off. Jonah was in the belly of the fish, the end of chapter 1, verse 17. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the flood compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. When I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. Father, I pray that you would bless this series of messages. And really, it is trying to get us to die to self. And last week, we talked about mostly dying to self-will. Today, we'll talk mostly about dying to self-reliance. And I pray that you would use these to draw us closer to thee, to be more dedicated, more surrendered, more willing to give of our talents and our gifts for your glory and for your honor. And that, Lord, that we would see the danger of stepping outside of your will through this whole thing as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. C.S. Lewis said he came kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God. Remember, we mentioned this last week, but Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him or draw her. However, as God begins to try to pull us to him and draw us. Actually, the literal would be drag. Sometimes God has to drag us to him. You know what we can be? We can be stubborn people. We really can be. By the way, some people say, yeah, I'm just stubborn, like that's some kind of a compliment to themselves or something. You know, being stubborn really isn't a compliment. I don't know why people think it is, but they think that it is. But I dealt mostly with last week the death of self-will, because Jonah... Remember a little, I will mention a little. I had a whole bunch written out, but I didn't bring it over. Jonah, God said, Jonah, I want you to go to preach in Nineveh. That was God's will. Jonah said, nah, not going to do it. Going to go to Tarshish. And he walks down, and what do you know? There's a boat happening to be leaving to go to Tarshish that way, but boats didn't travel to Tarshish every day, so he said, hey, maybe God's going to be in this. So he finds a boat going to Tarshish, and he's got the money, and he walks up, and they told him the price, and the Bible said he paid the fare thereof, and he got off, and he decided to go his will when God said go that way. Finally, God got a hold of him, and God chose a meeting place. I will tell you, you can run from God, but God will choose a meeting place, and God will meet you somewhere. And the meeting place that God chose for Jonah was in the fish's belly. And I can promise you this. I guarantee you God got Jonah's attention when that fish swallowed him up. Somewhere God can put you in your life. And if you're a child of God, he's going to. And he's going to get your attention somewhere. But today, I want to talk about death to self-reliance. By the way, I did mention this. I'll mention it again. Jonah did surrender his will in some things, but he never did surrender completely. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. He said, I die daily. We have to die daily to ourselves. Saying yes to Jesus means saying no to something. Death to self-will and death to self-reliance. And the next two messages will be death to two other things. And as we think about brokenness, it doesn't mean that we don't have a will of our own. Unfortunately, we do sometimes. But you would never really want it to the place where you didn't have a free will. But it does mean that we are committed to living pure lives for the glory of God, even at personal cost. I said in a series quite a while ago, I pray still pretty much every day, every morning, God, glorify yourself through me at my expense. And so even at personal cost, we are willing to accept the circumstances that comes into our lives, and we accept them as the will of God. And by when we say that, we don't mean, oh, if I sin, it's the will of God. We don't mean that. But it does mean this. We're not always fighting the circumstances that come into our life. We're not always fighting against those things that come into our life that are so negative. And we're not always in conflict with God saying, God, why did you allow this? And how come this is happening? We're not in conflict with God like that. When we say we're going to die to self, we kind of mean, you know what, no matter what comes into my life, I'm going to accept that and I'm going to be okay with it. That's what we mean. If we improve our situation, if you can improve your situation, wonderful. But at the end of the day, we believe that what has happened in our life can be used for the good of others and for the glory of God. And so we accept it as from Him, and we refuse to get bitter. Because circumstances in our life can either make us bitter or they can make us better. And so we refuse to allow them to make us bitter because we're just saying, okay, God, I'm okay with this. So we leave off last week with Jonah in the belly of the fish. It's kind of a very intense learning center that God made for Jonah, and in that learning center, God got his attention. Now, in this text, remember the storm? That's how come Jonah ended up in the water and the fish swallowed him. In this text, the storm was for the people of God. And I may say this later, but I'm just going to say it now. I plan to say it later. The storm that we find ourselves in New York State and in America is often created by the children of God. Now, we want to blame the pagans for everything. But the fact of the matter is, when God's people allow the pagans to do certain things and get away with certain things, they do it. I took Lily to a swimming meet yesterday, and there's a lady there. Her name is, I'll tell you her name. She's a wonderful Christian lady. She loves the Lord, but she doesn't know anything about politics at all. And she's never had her children have one vaccination. And she doesn't believe, and she's not going to get them any vaccinations. In fact of the matter is, her doctor told her this, the kids that we have that have had no vaccinations are the healthiest kids that come into this office. That came from a doctor. Her doctor. Anyway, so she goes, I don't know anything about this stuff. I don't watch the news. I don't read the news. I don't listen to the news. I don't know anything that's going on. Well, if you take multitudes of what we call evangelical Christians, I don't know that I want to call myself that, but anyway, you know what they mean when they say that, and nobody knows what's going on, the storms come into our life, and because we didn't get involved, we are part of the storm. And sometimes storms, like we're in New York State right now, those storms are for us. This storm was for Jonah. Jonah could have said, oh, I wished I'd have not done this. I wished I'd have just went where God told me to go. And he may have regretted that. And there can be some room for regret. But you know what regret doesn't do? Regret doesn't change the past. You can't change the past. You can't change. You can reshape the future, but you can't change the past. You make a bad decision, you have to live with it. I'm laughing because something popped into my mind. A lady called me up for prayer, and ultimately, after I got done talking to her, I had to say something just as about what I said. I said, you made a bad decision. She goes, yeah, I did. And she really made a bad decision. I said, you know, I'm not sure how to pray for that. I mean, you're going to have to just live with the consequences. And you know what? When you make bad decisions, sometimes you just have to live with the consequences. And so, Jonah, there may be a place for regret, but you can't change the past. You can't pray, oh, God, I pray this accident didn't happen. The accident happened. Okay, that's what you made a bad decision. In her case, that's what happened, and she made a bad decision. In the belly of the fish, regret didn't change anything. Jonah was still in the fish. Nor in the fish's belly could Jonah control his future. And when God gets you to the place where God's got your attention, there may not be anything that you can do except submit to the will of God, because Jonah's future right here is out of his hands. And I have to believe this thought went through his mind. What's God going to do with me? Because Jonah's future, he has no control over it. And while he was here, he came up with a poem. It was a little psalm in it. You can notice as you read it that there's some psalms mixed into it. As a prophet, he would have known this. By the way, he was the prophet of God that caused the storm. He put them together, and he made these ideas his own, and he had 72 hours that he had in the belly of this fish. And you read that in verses 1 through 10. Now, verse 1 said this, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. Jonah was a child of God. He was a prophet of God. He said his God. He was God's servant, and God's servant was running from God. This man is confronted by God. And then it said this, he prayed. Jonah prayed unto the Lord. God got his attention. Now look at verse 2. And said, I cried by reason out of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest me my voice. Jonah didn't die. He wasn't in literal hell. The word there is Sheol. And what he means is this, I was in the deepest pits imaginable. Doesn't that remind you of Psalm 40? God lifted us out of the pits. That's what Jonah's saying. I was in the deepest pits imaginable. He didn't die, but he's down and down and down. In verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods, they compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Now, did you notice in verse 3, who created that storm? Ultimately, Jonah's bad decisions, but who sent the storm? God did. It says, for thou cast me into this deep. Let me ask you this. Didn't the sailors cast Jonah overboard because he told them to? But ultimately, Jonah says, God, you did that. He says, thou cast me into the deep. Jonah really understood, you know what? God's really working right now, and he's working me over. Jonah was figuring that out. Awful place to figure it out, isn't it? But sometimes that's where people get in their life before they really do figure it out. Now, let me read a few more verses. The floods compassed me about, all thy billows and waves pass over me. He's just saying, this is all God. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed about me. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I wonder if that's the literal weeds that were inside the fish when Jonah was around. That's kind of like gross. Anyway, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. I wonder if the bars is a reference to the fish's ribs. That's where Jonah was, kind of like in jail. And Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. And he mentions that God is his God again. Now let me give you a few lessons. What do we learn from about God when Jonah is in the belly of the whale? Lesson one, you know what he learned? He learned that God was listening. Did you notice what it said in verse 2? And heard me out of the belly of hell, I cried, and thou heardest my voice. When you pray, would you agree with this statement? Jonah's kind of in a desperate situation. And in that desperate situation, you know what Jonah does? He cries out to God. God's not deaf. In the Psalms, it often says, when I cried unto you, what's it say? You inclined your ear unto me. The psalmist means when I cried to God, God was listening. And when you cry out to God, when God's got your attention and God's got your got it good like he did Jonah, I can tell you something, God will hear you. God's listening. God, you can hear me in my dilemma. You can hear me in my circumstance. Even if I don't have a future, Jonah couldn't see a future, you can still hear me. And so, God, in desperation, I cried to you and you heard my prayer. Listen, God hears your words and he knows your heart. Even in the depths of Sheol, you hear me. Psalm 139, verse 8 said, if I ascend up unto heaven, thou art there. We read this whole passage last week, but if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You'll never get out of the voice range of God. In the midst of your grief and in the midst of your puzzled life, because sometimes life is puzzling, your circumstances, you cry to God and God is listening. And by the way, God has free phone service. Okay, it's not, that's God, you got to throw that in there today. A guy said this one day, he said, I just keep calling to God, but he's not answering my calls. Maybe he wasn't using the right zip code. You say, what's the right zip code? J-E-S-U-S. Jesus, that's the right zip code. But you cry out to God, God will hear you. You got to have the right zip code. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. But what else do we learn? We learned that God was listening. The other thing we learn in verse 3 is this. God was directing. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. God's directing things. Who cast Jonah in ultimately? It was the Lord. He said, thy billows, thy waves. God is directing things. Now, if you go back, and I won't read them again, but God controls the winds in chapter 1 and verse 4. He controlled the sea. Chapter 1 and verse 7, he controlled the lots when the lot fell on Jonah. He controlled the fish. It said at the end of you can look right there in verse 17. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. God had prepared that fish. He controlled the fish. He controlled the sailors back in verse 15. They were the ones that God allowed to throw Jonah overboard. Later in this book, he's going to control a worm and he's going to control a gourd. It's amazing that God is having to deal with a man who defies him. The wind doesn't defy God. The seas don't. The fish don't. The sailors don't. The lots don't. But the prophet does. He defies God. And you'll see Jonah is a reluctant learner. You've heard me say this many times. You better maintain a teachable spirit. Jonah is always going to maintain being a reluctant learner. Are you? Are you really teachable? Like, Pastor, do you really believe all this story? By the way, I do. You know why I believe it? Jesus believed it. I'll quote a verse a little bit later on. Jesus believed this story. Now, maybe that's you. Maybe you're a little bit reluctant. Just plain stubborn. Just plain defiant and reluctant to do the will of God. Maybe you're like Jonah. God said, go this way. Jonah says, no, I think I'll go this way. God's controlling things, but some of you, because of your own bad decisions and your sinful things and disobedience, just like Jonah, you are today in a difficult spot. It's because of the path that you choose. So you need to own it. You need to say, I made a bad decision. I've done some things that were foolish. They were wrong. And you have to live with it. Now, it's the natural result of taking a wrong path. And you may wonder, can God help me? Well, let me ask you this. Did God help Jonah? God helped Jonah. What was the last verse we read there, verse 10? What did the fish do? Vomited them up. I don't know, this just popped in my mind. You ever wonder what Jonah looked like and smelled like when he came out of a fish's belly? Had to be a sight for, to be disgusting. Anyway, but that's what God did. Actually, God did help Jonah. Wherever you are, I don't know what your circumstances is, or I don't know any of that, but you can cry out to the Lord, and He will listen, and God can control, and God can direct, and yes, God can help you. The reason you can pray with confidence is because God is in charge. Look at all the things He controls. And He can control, and He can direct, and you know God does all things well. Then Jonah, he's starting to get a little bit biblical finally. He's starting to figure things out. He understands that God is controlling, that God is answering. And look at verse 4 at the beginning of it. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Isn't that exactly what Jonah wanted? Didn't Jonah want to hide from God? Wasn't Jonah running from God? That's what he wanted. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah wanted away from God. He wanted to be out of the presence of the Lord. He didn't pray in chapter 1. What he did was he put God on the shelf. And he put a note under a sticker or something underneath where he put God on the shelf. And he simply wrote something like this, to be dealt with later. Don't deal with God later. Don't say, I'll put that off for now. Deal with God now. Right now, he's thinking, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to go preach to those Ninevites. I'm going to head to Tarshish. But that's what Jonah wanted. Now, Jonah, aren't you happy you're away from God? No, I'm not happy. You think he was happy in the fish's belly? No. The most miserable people in the world is the one who experiences this loss of fellowship with the Lord. They're miserable people. And he's not happy. And you can run from God. God does give you a free will, and you can run from God. But I can tell you something. You'll be just like Jonah. You will not be happy. There is no happiness found outside. No real joy, no real peace, no real happiness outside the will of God. I talked to a lady the other day. Her son has made some decisions, and she says, he's looking for something. And then she says, we know what he's looking for. And we do. But he needs to look toward the Lord. In verse 4, he went on. He said, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Perhaps that is a reference to the temple in Jerusalem. He's in confinement, verses 5 and 6. And he can't get out. He's in his dilemma. And he's crying out to God, and God is answering. David said this in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. And here's one of those places where it said, he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up out of the horrible pit. But isn't that what God did for all of us that are saved? Out of a miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my going, and hasn't God directed and done that? And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's what God did in my life. God answered. God is showing him, Jonah, even in this dilemma you find yourself in, which you have no control of, and Jonah didn't, when we are brought to the end of our self-will, our self-reliance, our dependence on self, or determination that we are going to change this situation, God kicks all of that out of the way, so suddenly everything that we thought we could control, we can't. Jonah is no longer in control of anything. And we can't do it either. And it's there that God meets us and answers us, and it's then that God comes through. And so Jonah says, God was answering. There's a third thing you learn in this chapter. That is this. God was purifying. God's purifying. There are two aspects, really, of the purification going on here. Look at verse 8. That they observe lying vanities. Now, I didn't write the reference down. But somewhere in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about idols of the heart. Lying vanities. His own will was an idol. I'm going to do my own thing. I know what God's will is, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go this way. And when you do things like that, you set up idols in your own heart. And who do you put on the throne of your own heart when you do that? Self. That's why we die to self, and that's why we have to die daily. You put up a throne. Who's supposed to be on the throne of your heart? Jesus is. The Lord is. Ezekiel says people set up idols in their own hearts. That's something above the will and the purpose of God, and that is exactly what Jonah did. He put his will above the will and the purpose of God. God's purpose was to send him to Nineveh, to send a revival to that city, those Assyrians there. But Jonah didn't want to. He didn't like those people. Jonah was actually a very prejudiced person. I want this more, Jonah said, and he didn't say it, but he did, in his heart it is. I want this more than I want the will of God. You fight idols, and look what he said. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Do you really want to forsake mercy? Then verse 9, he said this, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Jonah's starting to figure things out a little bit. I will pay that thou I have vowed. Now he says that. Jonah says, God, I made a commitment to you long ago, and now I will fulfill it. I could put a message in here on keeping vows, but you know when you keep a vow, when you make a vow, it's a seriously important thing that you keep it. You can study that out in the Old Testament, mostly yourself. Are you aware that sometimes a child of God can have a harder heart, a more stubborn will, a more determined mindset to blow God off than even the pagans do? Did you notice something back in chapter 1 and verse 16? Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Who were the men there? They were the sailors. It says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows, and they seemed to be pretty serious about it. People or so-called children of God trying to run away from God will do the best of their ability with all of their might. And boy, they can be miserable. When I was in Bible college, we had a young man. His name was Scott. And he started school the same year that we did, us freshmen. And somewhere about the second or third year, maybe the third year, he just started missing church on Wednesday nights. And then he started missing church on Sunday. He dropped out of college, Bible school. And, you know, we had a burden for him. We'd been soul winning together, and we were close. And so somebody went to see Jake Houston. Some of you might remember Jake. Jake used to be a missionary in Holland. But anyway, Jake went to visit him. And the guy whose name was Scott, he was so out of the will of God and so miserable that he came at Jake with a knife. Jake jumped out, got out of the window, and got out of there. And you say, that guy was so determined to be outside the will of God, he was worse than the pagans. I think he was miserable? Because he was a backslidden Christian out of the will of God. God says, Jonah, you learning anything yet? Jonah says, yes, I am. No more idols on my heart. And then he says, I give you thanks. The second thing that God is purifying in Jonah is his theology. Do you see the last phrase of verse number 9? Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah finally got to the place in his life where he realized, you know what? That I'm nothing, and God is everything. What a statement that is. In Jonah's case, no one but God could save and deliver him. And in your case, nobody but Jesus can save and deliver you from your sin. Salvation is totally of the Lord. It is God who redeems us. That means to buy us back. It is God who had Jesus die for us, and God initiates all of that. He initiated the salvation program from the foundation of the world. And I even said earlier what Jesus said, no man comes to me except the Father draw him. God even has to initiate that. You know, I've thought about my salvation experience a million times. But I got to be honest, I was not looking for God. God was looking for me. Boy, that's one of the most humbling things there is to admit. You know that? I was preaching on that right from this pulpit one time, and there was an elder, the lady sitting back there. And I said, God has to seek you or you will not come to him. And I read a couple verses from the book of Ephesians. I just read them. Boy, she got mad at me. I said, She goes, I was seeking God. I said, no, God initiated that. Oh, she was mad. We're dead in trespasses and sin. Dead people don't do anything. They don't initiate anything. Spiritually, we were dead. But God initiated. It says salvation is of the Lord. Now listen, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you need to open your heart to Him. And if He is talking to your heart and you sense an emptiness, you have to have that filled. And if you sense sin and a separation, or you could even say an alienation, don't turn away from that. That is God getting your attention and to realize that salvation is of the Lord and you need to turn to the Lord. God is purifying Jonah. Desperate people, in verse 7, they need to pray. When my soul fainted within me, this poor guy is desperate. Now, I will give Jonah a little bit of something. If a whale swallows you, you'll be desperate also. So he says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto me and thine holy temple. It took that to happen. Are you desperate? I mean, are you desperate yet? After 9/11, the very next Sunday, some of the churches and some of the pastors I know, their churches filled right up. I believe it was Pastor Smith at Buckley Road. He said, we had 100 visitors the Sunday after 9/11. 100. You know how many came back? Because they were desperate. What's going on here? How many do you think came back the second Sunday of those 100 visitors? What'd you say, Sher? Zero. Not one. People don't get desperate enough. Or when they get desperate, it's like they're ever learning. Somebody tell me what's going on, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And they just don't get it. Listen. Finally, Jonah's desperate, and desperate people say something like this. We need God. And the young people would have said, if when somebody says we need God, you know what their response would have been, don't you? Duh. We could have told you that a long time ago. We really do need God. And if you look at the state and in the country, people need God. He's the only answer. But they just don't get it. Somebody said, things are looking so bad that we need to start praying. Maybe we should have started praying before things started looking so bad. The truth is, listen, we are always desperate for God. Or should be. But it seems like we just don't seem to know it, that how desperately we need God. We are desperate as a nation, that's true. We are desperate as a state, that's true. But we are desperate as individuals as well. We need to have God as the centerpiece in our life. He needs to sit on the throne of our heart. God is saying, don't you see your need? You see, the reason God motivates us to pray and puts us in desperate situation is so we'll cry out to God and say, God, it's over. I lay down my weapons of a rebel. Help me, Lord, help me. He says, if you call unto me in the day of trouble, I will answer thee. Now, in the Old Testament, there is a distinction between crying out and praying. David said, I prayed to the Lord, and then he said, and I cried out to him. We're going to come back to Jonah, but I want you to go to Daniel. It's just a few pages to the left in your Bible. Daniel chapter 9. Sometimes we have to get to the place in our life where we say, oh God, we got to be serious about this. I'm talking, you need to see how desperate you are for the Lord. I just want to read a little bit of Daniel's prayer. Daniel chapter 9. I got a stuck page here. Verse number 3. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And he prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Daniel is desperate. He says, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping thy covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Now, watch what he said. Verse 7. O Lord. Look at verse 8. O Lord. You can feel the desperation. O Lord. Look at verse 16. How about verse 15? O Lord. Verse 16. O Lord. Verse 17. O our God. Verse 18. O my God. Verse 19. O Lord. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Daniel was desperate for Israel. When we pray like that, we can get a hold of God. You just think about this. When's the last time when you prayed? You prayed with such a burden that tears began to come down your eyes. They weren't fake. They weren't made up. You weren't putting on a show for somebody. I mean, when you were alone with God. Jonah is alone with God. I'm glad I wasn't his fish partner, I can tell you that. But Jonah is alone with God, and he cries out to God. When's the last time you got alone with God yourself and cried out to the Lord and said, oh my God, he's desperate. And when we pray like that, God hears. Now, he says, I cried out to you and you inclined your ear to me and you answered me. There are times when we need to cry out to God. And just maybe, perhaps, you need to find a place or I need to find a place of solitude where no one's around and just cry out to God. Desperate people pray like that, you know. Jonah doesn't bargain with God. God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Can I suggest you don't bargain with God when you cry out to God? God, this is what I'm coming to you for. He just wants to be delivered out of this whale. He's thanking God for the fish. He didn't drown. He could have drowned. So he's thanking God for the fish, and there is a place where we thank God for even the bad circumstances and the dilemmas that we have in our life. And he's giving God praise, and his future is now entirely in God's hand. And by the way, Jesus used this. I believe this story because Jesus believed this story. Jesus used this story when they came and said, show us a sign. Remember what he said? No sign shall be given thee except the sign of Jonah. And they're like, what was the sign of Jonah? Well, Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly. You know what God did? God delivered Jonah out of that fish. And all the Trinity raised up Jesus from the dead after 3 days and three nights. Now, I choose to believe this story because Jesus chose to believe this story. Now, you say, what does God have to do in your life? And let me ask you this. For you to not worry about your will being accomplished, but surrender to self-will and self-reliance. Don't go from one thorn patch to the next thorn patch, from one bad decision to the next bad decision. They just, you know, that's not the way to live life. Learn to cry out to God and say, God, help me. I suppose somewhere in that prayer, Jonah probably said that. But we can be so stubborn. Jonah still doesn't come all the way around. You need to see your need before you call a cry out to God for help. Do you really see how desperate you are for God? That's a little breezy out there. Do you really see it? I mean, you understand that? Listen, let go of your self-will. Let go of your self-reliance and learn to trust God. Several years ago, I went to Albany because there was a guy, every church has some particular members in them, but anyway, there was a guy in our church that was in jail in Albany, and I forgot why he got arrested. He did something stupid, and he said, well, and this is just what he said. Now, he's behind, okay, Jonah mentioned the bars. Okay, he's behind bars. He said, well, I got myself in this mess. I guess I'm going to have to get myself out of this mess. I didn't say this, but I thought to myself, you fool. You got yourself in the mess, that's true. But you can't get yourself out of this mess. You need to cry out to God. I don't know that he ever did, because I don't know that I ever saw him after he got out of prison. He wasn't in there long. But I don't know that he ever did cry out to God. Some of you need to realize how desperate we can be, how desperate we really are for the Lord. Where will God have to take you to break you? Where did God take Jonah? To the belly of a fish. Where's God going to take you? Why don't you give up your self-reliance? Did you know, let me give you something, maybe you're not understanding what I mean by that. God doesn't want you to be independent from Him. There's a lot of churches that are called independent Baptist church or independent whatever. And we are an independent church. But we are desperately dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. You have to see that. God doesn't want that fellow that was in jail. He had the wrong attitude, man. He needed to learn to be dependent on God. That's why God, one of the reasons God gave us a church. We're dependent upon other Christians. Die to your self-reliance. Say, I'll just take care of this myself. No, you won't. What will God have to do? Do not be a Jonah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he said, I protest by your rejoicing when I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said this, I die daily. Do you die daily to self-will? Do you die daily to self-reliance? Are you desperate? Are you desperate? Are you desperate for yourself? Are you desperate for our state? Are you desperate for our nation? Are you desperate for your lost friends? Are you desperate for your lost relatives? Are you desperate? Do you see how much you need? Listen, salvation is of the Lord. And while we door knock and we enjoy sharing the gospel, here's the truth. We can't save anybody. God has to save them. Paul said it, God gives the increase. We share the gospel. We do the best that we can do when we witness. And sometimes I'm not sure we do a very good job of that all the time. But we just depend on God. And I'm telling you, you need to get there where you do that. Father, I pray today you would speak to our hearts about dying to self. Paul said, I die daily. We die to our self-will. Our will, we would pray like Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. We all have a will. We all have plans. We all lay out our future sometimes before ourselves and want you to put your stamp of approval on it. Sometimes our will's not your will. I pray that every person here would submit and die to self. Die to self-will. Die to self-reliance. Learn to trust you. Learn to cry out to you in their desperate situations. There might be people here this morning that are find themselves, a life is a little puzzling. We all go through those times. We all look back sometimes and say, I didn't see this coming. So Lord, speak to our hearts here in the next few moments. If people need to surrender that, I pray that they will be obedient to the Spirit of God and surrender their will and die to self, surrender their reliance, and just learn to trust you and rely on you. Jonah's future was out of his hands. He had to totally trust you. May we be likewise. Get to that where we understand that totally in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith will play. Christians are praying. Would you give yourself to the Lord today? Your will. Die to self. Die to self-reliance. Thank you. right, look this way. Josh and Matt, would you guys get that material? I want you to pass it